Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Monday, everybody.
You don't tell me what to do.
I will tell you what to do. I will tell you to have a happy Veterans Day, and thank you for your service to our country, Mr. Meringue. It is Veterans Day.
It is.
And you are a veteran yourself, so thank you, my man.
No worries, man. Thank you.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate every veteran that has sacrificed not just their lives, but really, even you and the life that you gave up as a public citizen or a private citizen to be a public servant for all of those years. That's what we celebrate today is Veterans Day. And all of the veterans here and those that are, you know, still overseas, some of them, whether they are active or retired and living overseas. Thank you to everybody who served our country.
Yeah, no, this is the one where you say happy Veterans Day.
That's right.
Not happy Memorial Day.
Remember Memorial Day.
Yes. Celebrate Veterans Day.
Yes.
It's a very, very simple thing. I'm not a stickler for many things. The happy Memorial Day one is like, chill on that one a little bit.
Yeah.
Like I'm not the
Memorial Day is the day we remember those who died.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'm not the holiday Nazi on really anything.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say Merry Christmas, say Merry Christmas. You want to say Happy Holidays, whatever. I don't care. But, like, on this one, it's like Happy Veterans Day, not Happy Memorial Day.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
we're good.
Thank you to every single vet that is listening to us, that has served our country. Thank you all from the bottom of my heart, all of our hearts. We appreciate you, and thank you so much. This is one of those days that I think that everybody can agree it is a worthwhile day to have our entire country pause and take note of everybody who has served our country, sacrificed for our country, and everything that goes into being a public servant of that magnitude as a veteran for our United States military. Thank you, everybody, for serving our country. So, and that includes you, Mr. Meringue. It includes you, you know?
Regardless of whether or not I want to be included.
Well, you have to be.
I know. It's one of those.
You know, you don't have a choice in this.
It's one of those weird things.
This is a hug from grandma. You have no choice.
It's even though I've heard it a million times, it's always like it doesn't feel bad. It feels weird anytime I get, hey, thanks for your service or appreciate you, but you know, whatever it is.
Yep.
And I'm always just kind of like, you're okay, cool. Like it's one of those things that's like, I know that less than 1% of the entire population, for those who don't know, less than 1% of the entire population is military or has served, active or retired or veteran status. That's how few of us there actually are. So even though you think like everybody like, oh, I know somebody who's in the military, it's like it's literally less than 1% of the entire population. It's very small.
Yeah, when you think about it, well, in that number is getting smaller.
It's getting smaller.
getting smaller.
Like, I mean, the number of guys, I mean, they're having trouble keeping people in, mostly because leadership sucks. But, you know, it's one of those things I've always, like, for me, I don't come from, I've mentioned this before, I don't come from, like, a long lineage of military service in my family. Mm-hmm. Like, my parents were hippies. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it, you know, I didn't have grandpappies that fought in World War II and World War, like, none of that. Like, it was 9/11 happened. I was going to go to business school, and hilariously, I was probably going to end up at Oregon. 9/11 happened, and it changed my life, and, you know, I felt like I needed to do something that didn't make me better or worse than anybody else. It was just all of a sudden, it was like, I need to do something, and I went down that path. And so it's always interesting. I don't know. I've never been able to, like, fully grasp the whole service part of it in the sense of, you mm-hmm. know, how other people look at it, because I was on the other side of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, look, just because you didn't go, I don't think any, to be honest, I've never thought any less of anybody else for not doing it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, and I don't think of me as any better. It's just, I went down a different path. That's how I look at it, more than anything else. Like,
there's a lot of guys that are in your shoes, though, because of you being uniquely positioned with the year that you graduated from high school.
Yeah.
Being, you know, that class of 2002, the 9/11 was the fall of your senior year of high school. Yeah. So that, I think there's a lot of people that are in your position right there where that happened. It was a pivot point in our entire country, and mm-hmm. a lot of guys did the exact same thing. And me just being like a year in school after you, it was not quite that gravitational pull.
No.
Even though there were a lot of guys that I know that's the path that they chose as well. I mean, I think that there's kind of that window of guys that entered service in, you know, 2001, 2, 3, and 4 that 9/11 was like, boom.
Yeah, that was the thing.
That's the calling for you. You picked up the phone, you went and you did it.
And then enough videos got out of us getting blown up left, right, and center that people were like, you know what? Maybe I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Turns out war, not fun.
Not good. Not good.
And this, you know, the past, you know, the quote-unquote global war on terror unfortunately had it in 4K.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, and they, look, it's... Being in, like, this is going to get so philosophical. Being in war is not something anybody should ever want. It's like, not, it's not a,
no,
it's not a fun thing. I guess I've been, you know, blown up, stabbed, thrown in a vehicle and shrapnel and awful, terrible things that have happened to me and that I wouldn't wish on anyone. And it's one of those things of, like, I don't know. It's, you know, every time I think about it, it's very interesting in the sense of, as much as I always say, particularly doing the radio job now, I've never woken up once and not wanted to go to work because I love what I do here. In the same vein, every single day I get up, and despite all of the terrible crap that I went through, I miss that job, that world.
Yeah.
Every single day, even now.
Really?
Every single day. At some point in time during the day, I will reminisce or think about or remember something. Something will happen or remind me of something that happened 20 years ago. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, and it's just, there's something so different about that career, that lifestyle, that nothing in the world can even come close to replicating.
No, you hear it a lot of time in sports too, guys always chasing that camaraderie of a locker room too, because the other people don't know and don't remember
there's
what it's
nothing
like to
like
be
it.
In there.
Yeah. There's nothing like it. Yeah. And it's like, and again.
And yours is amplified tenfold because it literally is life or death.
And the thing is like, it's a dark joke because of the military, but it's quite literally trauma bonding.
Yeah.
It's by definition, it is trauma bonding.
Mm-hmm.
It is a shared experience of trauma that brings you together.
Yeah.
And it's, you know.
Explains a lot about you.
You know, it's the thing, like my best friends today, I mean, still are those guys, you know, and even though we're scattered all over the world, you know, the group chat has been popping all morning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that's... It's very unique.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And thank you. You could drop that in your group chat, too. Thank you to all of your fellow patriots that served our country. So thank you very much, man.
It'd be the nicest thing said in the group chat this morning, for sure.
All right. Think well, we can muddy that up a little bit.
The deepest, darkest depravity that you can imagine.
That
and then take it like
about,
10 steps further.
Sounds about right.
The military does it right.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right. All right. Hey, if you want any veteran shout outs, go ahead. Text us Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. Something I like to do on Veterans Day. If you got a veteran, we'll shout them out, man. We will shout them out. Text us who they are, and we will shout out your veterans on the Vancouver Ford text line. Or you can throw them in the YouTube chat as well, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. We got sports that we got to get to today as well. Boiling points across the sports world. I think we have them in Dallas.
Good Lord.
I think we have them in New York with the Jets. I think we also have them in Chicago, the Bears. Do we have one in Portland?
Yeah,
with the Portland Trailblazers. Boy, this is early to do this. 11 games in.
Yeah, it's
we 11 games in.
Monday the 11th and 11 games in.
Yeah. 11 games in on the 11th day of November. The 11th month of the year, and boy, oh boy.
11-11, make a wish.
There's a lot of people making wishes right now, and one of them is Chauncey Billups that his team shows up for their next game.
Yeah.
That was ugly.
It was bad.
That was really, really ugly ugly last night.
There's a lot to parse through.
Okay. We got to get through that. We have carnage across the college football landscape this weekend.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Mario Cristobal's team was favored heavily. And
we talked about it on Friday.
They went on the road, and they lost a game. And he used a timeout at a point where everybody went, wait,
what?
Why? Why are you? And then his team didn't have a timeout at the end of the game that they could have used.
And Haynes King.
Haynes King ran the ball. He ran the ball.
Run the ball.
And he did. Mm. Yep. Miami goes down. Georgia goes down.
Can I give you my conspiracy theory tinfoil hat thing that's going to happen for you to noodle on over the next little bit for you to think about and then we can talk about?
Yep.
The further through the schedule we get, and the more stuff happens, the Ole Miss Georgias of the world, the Miamis of the world falling off, the more you are going to hear, Oregon hasn't played anyone other than Ohio State. Their path is too easy. It's going to become a conversation. I almost guarantee it's going to become a talking point from the SEC of, they didn't have to play anybody. Look at this. Yeah. Look at what's happening in the SEC.
I have a counterpoint to that. Texas is ranked third in the AP poll. What is Texas's best win?
Oh, I know. But again, what conference is Texas in?
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. But Texas's best, I dare you to go and look at that.
I know.
If that conversation happens, you can just point to Texas and be
I'm with you.
Is it against unranked Michigan? Mm-hmm. Is it against unranked Oklahoma? Mm-hmm. Or is it Colorado State? Or is it Vanderbilt?
The Alabama media, they're already doing the whole, Bama has 4 wins against AP top 25 ranked teams currently right now. Yep. And in the top 25, I want to say it's 3. Yep. And Oregon has 2 of them.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm 100% not saying it's right because you can only play who's in front of you.
Yeah.
But it is an argument that is going to start. It is 100% going
to
start.
And it doesn't have legs, though.
Oh.
They'll
bolt some legs onto it in the SEC, baby. Are you kidding me?
It's going to start against Indiana. That's who's going to get it.
Indiana does deserve it. And we'll talk about all of this because of the carnage that did happen in Indiana played Michigan, and that game played out about how I thought it would. It was not a drubbing because up front, Indiana has not seen a team like Michigan, and Michigan ground them to a halt. I mean, this is 20 to 15. They've been scoring 40 and 50 every single week. And there is credence to, there are some bad teams in the Big Ten. But there's also some bad teams in the SEC, too. There's bad teams everywhere across college football. That's why the portal has been great. That is why NIL has been great. It has truly leveled the playing field. And the Big Ten and the SEC aren't the ones that need to be fighting with each other. It is, you need to look at conferences like the ACC and the Big 12 and say, they don't deserve two teams because they might get two. That's going to be where this thing gets real tricky. We'll go down an SEC nightmare scenario at some point during the show, too. Where we got to start, though, you mentioned it. There will be people that say Oregon outside of Ohio State, which I would say beating the number two team in the country is a pretty big win. Outside of Ohio State, Oregon hasn't beat anybody yet. Well, the number one team in the land had a bit of a clunky game against the Maryland Terrapins on Saturday night. We'll dive into that one coming up next. This is Danny Dusty on The Fan.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
The Oregon Ducks knocked off the Maryland Terrapins over the weekend. 38-19, 21-point victory. Kind of a clunky game, though. A weird rhythm to the start of that game for the Oregon Ducks. And it kind of played out throughout the entirety of the 60 minutes of football where the offense struggled to get going. It was kind of one of those, there was long stretches where the offense just wasn't even on the field at times. Because you had the Brandon Johnson scoop and score. Mm-hmm. There was 7 minutes and 51 seconds of game time. So think of how long that is, right? If a 60-minute football game is usually, what, 3.5 hours long?
Yeah.
That's what we're really going with there. That was a half of a quarter, over half. It was 7 minutes, 51 seconds. That's, you know, more than half a quarter of game time. Their offense was probably off the field for, what, a half hour?
Yeah, God. That's a long time.
It was a long time. It was weird.
You get tight.
Yeah.
Like you gotta, it's one of those things where you got to get the hip mobility work on the sideline.
It was a super weird rhythm to the game where, you know, Oregon's defense looks like they come out and they make a stop on the opening drive, and then, boom, a roughing the kicker. What did you think of that roughing the kicker call where the punter drops the ball? It's on the ground. He picks it up. Dalen Austin comes in, kind of wraps him up as he's kicking the ball away. I still have not gotten like a definitive.
I feel like if the ball hits the ground, it should be kind of an all bets are off situation.
Yeah, the ruling was that the punter established himself as a kicker again after dropping the ball. And Austin didn't tip the kick, it was deemed roughing the kicker.
Then if that's the case, you know what you should do? To get these Aussie rules punters and have them grab the ball and throw it on the ground,
yeah,
and pick it back up and then just shuffle and kick, because you know what's going to happen?
They're going to get hit.
You're going to get hit and you're going to get a flag and you're going to first down. Because like if you want to talk about taking advantage of it, there was who was the kicker? Was it last weekend where that happened? Where it was an Aussie rules kicker. They ended up making a massive, massive big play where the ball bounced and he like faked the kick got the guy to commit on the dive and took it off for like a 30-yard run.
Little hesitation.
Oh, he got smoked. Absolutely smoked on the sideline. It was a it might have been a Conference USA game. It wasn't a big game, but I just remember like watching that play. It was another Australian kicker who was like, "I'm a rugby guy. Like, I'll take off and go. I'm down to clown, you know." And but it was, I thought the same thing. But also, I thought like he was very smart in that he used it against the player in much the same way that was it Josh Allen that did the fake slide?
No, Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm getting my big white guys mixed up, sorry. But I think that's, again, you're using the defense's aggression against them the same way Patrick Mahomes kind of did on the sideline a couple weeks ago.
Did you hear Mahomes yesterday?
No.
You didn't hear that? Somebody has audio of, they recorded on their TV, and Mahomes is running down the sideline, and he was doing his little, like, will you, won't you hit me thing. And after the play's over, he asked the official, "Will you let me know when he's close?" It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like, will you let me know when he's close?
Are you kidding me?
Isn't that a weird thing to say?
It's on the sidelines too. It's totally got people tinfoil hat of like the refs are helping them win.
Bro. And obviously, you know it's Patrick Mahomes' voice because it's Patrick Mahomes.
Will you let me know when he's behind me?
Yeah, like, it was a weird. It was a weird thing. Like, will you let me know when he's close? I don't know. He was looking at the official, but was he talking to somebody else? He does no look passes. Maybe he does no look talking. I don't know. It was a weird thing.
Weird.
But there was that kind of started the weird rhythm to the game for Oregon and Maryland, though, is that when you have that roughing the punter, it keeps the drive alive. Maryland gets a field goal out of it. And one thing Oregon has been really good at all season long is they have jumped on teams early. And Maryland, coming out of a bye week, their defense was ready. And I will give Maryland deserves a ton of credit. Their secondary, they got dudes in their secondary. They look like Sunday guys in the secondary for Maryland. Up front, they are not nearly as good.
No,
but they got dudes in their secondary. They are long. They are physical. They basically took Idaho's game plan of, we're going to keep everything in front of us. We're going to rally to the ball. We're going to tackle well. And that's how they tried to slow Oregon down. And obviously, when you don't have Tez Johnson on the field, Trayshawn Holden got dinged up early in the game. And, you know, he ended up coming back. It looked like he got a knee to, you know, either his calf or his thigh or something, and he was fine. But you sit there and you're like, the explosiveness just wasn't there because Maryland used that bye week, and damn, they look good coming out of
it. It's one of those things where you look at Maryland, if this was maybe Maryland's team from last year, where they had Tua's brother.
Yeah.
They had a little bit more.
That quarterback was pretty good, though.
Old Billy Edwards has got a little bit of juice to him.
Billy does.
But he's more of a, he's the fun college football player.
Yeah.
Where, I'm sorry, Tua's little brother. I always forget his first name.
Talia.
Thank you. He would sling the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, he would absolutely fire that thing all over the field. And it's one of those things where it's like, if Maryland just had a little bit more juice, you're like, this could have been an interesting game.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, I don't think Oregon was in any way complacent. I think Maryland executed a game plan to ugly things up.
Mm-hmm.
And Oregon won on, not on the margins, but like, they won on being better in the trenches and better on the execution side of things.
Yeah.
Even as clunky as it was still like, all right, let's fire the diesel engine up. Let's go ahead and salt this thing away and take care of it. Because the thing that Maryland could not do was run the ball.
No. People are having a really tough time against Oregon with that. There, it turns out, they're really good up front.
Yeah.
And look, Maryland under Mike Locksley, remember the last 2 years, in 2022 and in 2023, they played Michigan to a one-score game, 34-27 in 22, 31-24 in 2023. Last year, their game against Ohio State felt a lot like this Oregon game. They lost 37-17, right? The year before that, 43-30. Like, Loxley gets those guys up for these big games, and that's something that they look like they were answering the call in this one and played this one pretty tough. But for Oregon, when you look at, I know a lot of people are worried about the injuries. Jordan Birch left the game. It looked like he re-aggravated his ankle. I can tell you that he was up walking around on the sideline. Usually when a guy gets hurt in a game, they will take him to the tent, and then if it's bad, they take him straight up the tunnel. He's gone. They just took the tape off, and it felt like it was more of the, we're not going to push this. You're done for the day, but we'll see where you're at, you know, coming up this week. I don't think that that's a serious one because they didn't put him in a boot. He wasn't on crutches, nothing like that. They just took the tape off and said, you're done for the day. Jordan James was legitimately trying to get back in the game, mm-hmm. but at game 10 of the season, limit the contact.
They said, nah, dog.
No, Whittington and Jade Lamar were fine. They were trying to just salt the game away and get out of there as healthy as they could. It's really weird that a 21-point victory, like the fan base felt completely different. It was the same margin of victory against Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
The exact same margin of victory. In fact, Oregon had to go in and punch in a touchdown at the very end of the game to make it a 21-point game, right? But it was just like, man, it felt like they were just going to come out and steamroll them. The third quarter woes, those continue to be an issue. The defense is still really good in the third quarter, though. I mean, they outscored them 8-0 in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. People want an explosion. I think that going 3-and-out to start that third quarter when you get the ball, that was like, oh boy, what is going on with the offense? That this is like we don't quite know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they were up again, I think it was what, 21-10? 21-10 in the third quarter?
Yeah.
You're up by two
scores.
Yeah, the start of the third quarter. You're up 21-10. And then the next drive, they looked like it was going to be another 3-and-out. And then you direct snap to Jordan Birch. That fake punt, dude, I thought it was Trayshawn Holden at first. Like when I was watching number one run,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was Trayshawn Holden.
Very, very, very large man.
That dude can move.
Boogie.
He can move.
36 yards?
Yeah, he was the second leading rusher for Oregon. 36 yard scamper. Jordan Birch, second leading rusher on the team for the game. But that was kind of that spark, and it reminded me exactly of the Colorado game, right? Last year when they direct snap to Casey Rogers, it was 13-0 at that point. They had defensive lineman in, who was the third guy over as a personal protector. Same look.
By the
snapped
way,
it.
Jordan Birch
boom.
Listed at 6'6", 295.
And he was moving.
Did you see, related, another large former Duck, did you see Panay?
Yeah, which
dude, that
one?
Was unbelievable.
Which one, though?
My God. Unbelievable.
He was moving. He was absolutely.
He was outrunning Montgomery.
He was outrunning Gibbs. And Gibbs is faster. On the one play, he blocked five guys.
That was insane.
Yeah. And then.
Absolutely insane.
I mean, it's like watching a grown man. It's like when you see those mascot games.
Playing
and
with the kids.
The yeah. Colts mascot uh-huh. just absolutely dominates the little peewee football mm-hmm. players. Penny Sewell's doing that in the National Football League. It's crazy.
For those wondering, I have a stats monitor at Moda Center that I can also change the channel on and watch football.
Yeah.
Which I did for a part of the game last night.
Probably was better viewing.
Oh, boy.
Boy.
I had people around me like, hey, how do I change the channel?
Yeah.
Am I off base in this at this point? But I feel like that win against Maryland, you're in the playoff if you're the Ducks. Like, I think you can look at it and say, worst case doomsday scenario, you're still going to get in at 10-2. Or am I wrong?
Well, if they'll have a conference championship game too, I don't think you're getting in at 10-3.
But if you go 10-2, you're probably not getting in the conference championship game.
Yeah, if they win this week at Wisconsin, I think you're in.
See, I think you're already in
yeah.
because if you go 10-2, there you would have two Big Ten losses. There would be three teams with one Big Ten loss, or there'd be two teams, one with no losses, Indiana, and one with one loss, Penn State. I think you're in. I think you clinched a playoff spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congrats.
Congrats. Congrats on the playoff berth. No, I still think I believe they got to beat. If they beat Wisconsin this week, then I think that is when you go, boom, 11 wins on the season. That's kind of the marker and the identifier for no doubt. Nobody can kind of touch it. So I think that would be the one. But you're not wrong in that if they're 11-2. But you don't want to go two straight losses, right? Or two of your final three. The playoff committee would eat that alive.
Right. Well, yeah. And then that gives you an opportunity to get hosed coming late, because there's going to be a bunch of SEC teams that have the same record.
Yeah. Yeah. So one thing that happened, though, after the Jordan Birch fake punt, what was the number that Buck came up with? 920. That was the secret score earlier this morning.
Mm-hmm.
920 pounds of action on that drive, because Jordan Birch gets the long drive, or the long run.
Long run.
You throw the ball to Janoris Wilson on the goal line, which, if you were listening to the radio broadcast, you heard the referee come on. Before the game started, he comes on and he says, number 78 is now 91. That's Janoris Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
They knew they were going to the low red area. They were going to throw to Janoris Wilson. I mean, at the very beginning of the game, the referee announces the number change.
The number change. Yeah.
After that touchdown, 91 is now 78. Mm. So they were just waiting to get in the low red, and it just so happened it came after Jordan Birch. And then at that point, I think they just went, F it. Connerly, we're running the two-point play. They didn't need 2 points. Yeah. They didn't need the two-point conversion, but they just went, we are definitely going to have Josh Connerly score this two-point conversion. 920 pounds.
The thought of that is that a, hey, we want to try this, as opposed to pocket it?
I don't know. I just think it was, you got the crowd back into it. We're going to send him over the top.
Let's go full big guy.
That was a spark and a pivot point, because like Autzen had like a weird feel around it. Like it wasn't nearly as loud.
Didn't have the
it was
juice.
Like Maryland. Yeah. It's Maryland.
Yeah. Look, that's Maryland basketball in 2003. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're cooking with gas. All right.
That kind of got everybody back into it. You know, there was no Juan Dixon.
No Steve Blake. No Chris Wilcox. You know?
No. But it was... It got everybody kind of back into it, and I think, look, if those games happen for every team across the country, undeniably, you have one of these games for every team across the country. If you have that game and you win by 21, that tells you a lot about the talent of the team, and I think it tells you a lot about kind of where they're at right now, because one thing that is going to keep them in every game is the way their defense is playing right now. Their defense is playing lights out football. Three turnovers in the game. You get two interceptions. You force a fumble. You get a scoop and score by Brandon Johnson. You created those extra opportunities, and this team is going to be okay when you're playing defense. I see the text on the Vancouver 4 text line. I'm concerned about the Ducks for when they play better teams, because both Idaho and Maryland have shown that the Ducks have trouble putting together long drives without explosive plays. They lack precision in their short passing game. They had a 14-play, 92-yard drive.
Yeah.
I mean, they did have that, but they did have a lot of drops in the game. The precision on short passing, Dylan Gabriel is very accurate. Mm-hmm. They just had
that's the thing that he probably does the best.
You had some drops, though, and that is concerning. I also think that, you know, as you look at it, just watching the offense operate, it was good. Tez Johnson was photographed and videoed on the pregame on the field. No sling for Tez. Walking around the field. I think that is good news, and you should be optimistic moving forward about the timeline of his return being potentially a conference championship game. But the gravity of Tez and what he means when you put him in motion, I think we saw that, right? Of how defenses have to account for 15 no matter where he goes on the field. Because if Tez Johnson goes in motion, which he often does, you have the corner over him, a safety and a linebacker all have to shift their eyes and be aware of where he's going, because he's not just fast. He is a precision route runner and will sit down, find soft spots. And so I think that without him, I think there is a little bit of a learning curve too. But Oregon went by 21. I wasn't overly concerned about anything that we saw. Anytime you play good teams though, you are going, that concern of the texture, yeah, of course it's going to be there. But I think that's for any team in the country. Putting together a long drive is the most difficult thing to do. And you got to figure out a way to create those explosives and take advantage of those opportunities. Because I thought the opportunities were there, but Oregon just didn't take advantage of them. And I'm not overly concerned right now, because you win by 21, you get out of there relatively healthy. And now you're looking at a trip to Wisconsin. So many teams didn't get that opportunity. And we got to talk about that carnage in the world of college football. That after Will with SportsCenter.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Wild weekend in the world of college football this weekend. Down goes Georgia. The number 3 Bulldogs suffer their second loss of the year, falling to number 16 Ole Miss 28-10. That's a game Ole Miss needed. Lane Kiffin and crew, they find a way, baby. Find a way in Oxford on the Grove. And they beat Georgia 28-10. Number 4 Miami. Mario Cristobal. Cristobal is against Georgia Tech 28-23. Georgia Tech's only way that they were going to win that game was running the football. And
they did.
They did. But was it the 2-minute timeout happens and then Mario Cristobal has to call a timeout out of the 2-minute timeout? That kind of felt like the Auburn game, right? Where Oregon played Auburn, you know, in 2018 to start the season. And the way that Oregon had to burn a timeout, game management, it bit Miami, and Cam Ward ends up with the fumble in that bad boy near the end. We'll dive into the Heisman race too, because that's one thing about Dylan Gabriel in his 183 yards. You know, people were wanting to see him kind of go off against that Maryland team. The Heisman is now wide open.
Yes.
With Cam Ward, that fumble kind of costing your team a game in an undefeated season. What does that look like? Ashton Gentry ran wild. He goes for two bills and 3 tutties. Travis Hunter, was it 9 catches, 99 yards, playing both ways. It's a crazy Heisman race that we have. But then if you look at it, Iowa State lost. They lose to Kansas, and they've dropped 2 in a row. Number 18 Pitt has lost 2 with their loss to Virginia. I mean, this is where I go to, don't apologize for winning by 21 if you're Oregon. How many teams are stepping in it in a big way against teams that punch up and give you a chance? Hell, look at BYU. That BYU-Utah game was bonkers. Rivalry game, holy war, and Utah should have won that game. Do we all agree on that? Do we all agree on the Utah should have won that game?
BYU needs to be better on third down.
Yes.
I think that was divine intervention in the holy war coming in. Because
angels in the outfield?
Yeah. Retzlaff, quarterback, he gets hemmed up in the pocket. It looks like that game is over. Boop. Defensive holding. And I thought that was a bit ticky-tack. I think we saw that a lot in the Oregon game. Oregon, by the way, also penalties reared their ugly head. After we had 2 penalties for 10 yards against Michigan in the Big House, 12 penalties for 95 yards, 8 of them on the defensive side, 4 of them either defensive holding or pass interference. They're getting the referees. There may have been a memo to referees across college football that, hey, you know, point of emphasis this week, maybe defensive holding. Guys are getting a little aggressive at the top of routes because that was a bit ticky-tack against Utah. And then their AD goes off, but BYU gets a scare against Utah, a team that isn't very good offensively. Indiana improves to 10-0. Kurt Cignetti, pretty cool, isn't it, being 10-0? They get out of there by the skin of their teeth, 20-15 over Michigan.
Which was interesting just because simply they were drastically in control of that game. It's 17-3 and they're going to work. They're marching down the field again, and then, oops, Rourke makes his first real mistake of the season. It was, the second or third interception of the year that he ended up throwing?
Yeah. And he didn't Jared Goff it.
No. Oh, God, that was unbelievable. But, you know, they all of a sudden they get behind everything. They get behind the sticks. Yeah. They get behind in momentum. The wheels just started to fall off over and over. Like everything. Michigan just went full on Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, come on down here, and just pulled them into the mud.
Yeah.
Said, come wrestle with us down here. Because the first half of that game was Indiana going, well, we're going to go ahead and house you now. Thanks for coming. Appreciate you. And then Michigan just said, hold on.
That right there is where you look at Indiana and you say, all right, they are really good on the perimeter, on the edges. Their offensive line and defensive lines are good, man. You don't have the record that they have. You don't beat teams the way that you have if you're not good. But Michigan is elite in the trenches and on the perimeter right now. It wears you down over the course of a game. And you started to see that at the end of the game, especially where the only touchdown that Michigan scores all day is on a when in the fourth quarter after, you know, they get a short field, 34 yards. They just kind of boom, 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 wear you down running the football. And they bogged Indiana down offensively in the second half, too, because they're really good in their front seven on the defensive side of the football. That's the thing I'm interested to see with Indiana as they have coming up next. They get a bye, and then they got Ohio State, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get Ohio State, and are they going to be able to play at the level with a team that is good on the perimeter?
And in the trenches.
And in the trenches.
Interesting thing about that, did you see what time that kick is?
No. Big Nooner?
Big Noon again. That is, I think, seven straight games for Ohio State to close out the season at noon.
Really?
Let me pull it up. I saw it through here earlier.
Because the Michigan game's always at noon.
Noon,
too,
yeah.
Right?
Let's see.
Funny how...
Six consecutive noon starts to close the season for Ohio State, which is kind of weird.
That is very odd. The Big Ten scheduling is
dumb.
Just odd in my...
Whiteout on Peacock.
Whiteout on Peacock. That was a clunky broadcast, too. Like, there is a little glitchy.
Like, I know they're trying to drive people to Peacock, and look, when Peacock has been good...
Yeah.
It's the product has been very good, like during the Olympics. But it feels like this is so dumb. It feels like it's one of those things where everyone trying to become Netflix when you can't become Netflix.
Yeah.
Like have you ever looked at the streaming numbers, like as far as like who subscribes to what service? Netflix is so far and above everyone else that no one will ever catch them.
No.
It's just not possible to catch them.
Because their global reach, too.
Their global reach, and not only that, like, they defined what that process is.
Yeah.
Everybody else's UI somehow kind of mimics some version of Netflix because they nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, is like, and everybody's like, well, we're going to try to get that space. And we had everything kind of break apart and go into all of the different streaming wars, right? And now, what are we getting? We're getting the consolidation coming back to cable. It's the same thing, I think, with Peacock. As much as everybody's trying to, not everybody, NBC is trying to push you here, it's still not...
It's still not it, Bob.
No, it's not it. Not particularly when, you know, everybody's getting rid of Xfinity Comcast because, you know, problems.
Because they don't care about the TV product anymore. It doesn't feel like it, at least.
No, because the thing
they just care about the internet.
Because we got that for free.
Yep.
Like all of us subscribers who had that forever, basically here locally, anybody that ever worked for NBC Sports Northwest /Comcast, we all had it. Part of the deal. But now you look at it and you're just kind of like, well... Why would I go to Peacock?
Yeah.
And they just keep trying to force you there on NFL and college football, that appointment viewing stuff. And it feels like Prime is going to be the one that ends up kind of running that.
Well, just because widely accessible, everybody already has Amazon Prime anyways, too.
Hey, bundle it with your Amazon membership.
All right. The Big Ten picture. Let's take a quick glance at that. And then we also have our very best player of the game next on The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
It is now time to text in our Bellagio's very best player of the game. Text 503-864-6326, the Bellagio's very best player of the game, as heard on the Ducks post-game scoreboard show with Ryan Buckley and Will Ortner, who's filling in for Jeff Rust over there, to 503-864-6326, and you will win a Bellagio's pizza. Bellagio's pizza, since 1996, dough fresh made in Wilsonville daily. Come on down to Bellagio's. Get yourself some pizzas, huh? 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line where you can text in the Bellagio's very best player of the game, as said in the postgame scoreboard show. Oh, we already got a winner.
Oh, we already got a winner.
It was not Jordan Birch, guys. Y'all weren't listening. It was BJ, Brandon Johnson. Johnson, the Duke transfer. Scoop and score, baby. That looked like it was a pass in real time.
Mm.
But his arm was going back. It was like right at the top of the apex. And since they ruled it a fumble, really hard to overturn that. But we've seen that be an incomplete pass before. Anytime the ball shoots forward like 10 yards, mm-hmm. I always think, that's going to be an incomplete pass.
Arm going forward.
Incomplete pass. But they went, nope. Fumble, scoop and score for Brandon Johnson. And penalties were a big issue for Oregon in that game. 12 for 95 yards, 8 on the defensive side. Defensive holding, as I said, with the Utah-BYU game, may have been a point of emphasis in officiating, but it also just reeked of Mike Locksley before the game. Officials always go over to the head coaches and they give the talk of, hey, you know, you guys got any trick plays? You got anything going? You know, any guys with casts that we need to check or anything like that? And then they always go, hey, what did you guys see on film? Is there anything we need to keep an eye out on for the opposition? This reeks of, hey, they're very handsy in the secondary and at the top of routes because Oregon is. They do. They play a very physical brand of football. And that there were a couple that I went, huh, that's a little ticky-tack. But in large part, yeah, Oregon's physical in the secondary. They grab. But they do. And it's kind of like all great defenses give you the, I dare you to throw that flag every play. I dare you to. And if you don't.
It's a good way to go about it.
Yeah.
The most successful teams do this.
Yep.
You do it enough, and you just get to the point where, particularly in the end of games, that's what you're setting this up for is for those end of game opportunities. Yeah. Like, because you're, if, and I don't mean just like the last play, I mean the last drive or two.
Yep.
If you do it enough all game long, unless they've been throwing flags all game, which occasionally does happen, mm-hmm. and you just sit there and look, Jabbar Muhammad might be one of the best in the country at doing that. Yep. He's very handsy.
Great cover corner.
Great at it. Yep. And I mean that like in the most like praising manner. I'm not saying he's like, oh, he's not a good cover corner. All he does is grab. No, I'm saying he's very good at utilizing his hands in tight and making it so guys can't turn. Yeah. So they can't get free. Like that's what great corners do.
That Ty Felton is really damn good for Maryland.
Yeah.
That receiver is so good.
Yeah. No, like I said, if they had maybe a few more dudes,
yeah,
then maybe that game gets a little spicier.
Yeah. Yep. I was chatting with Kobe Savage after the game, and he even dropped it. He's like, dude, Ten reminded me of a guy who also played at Maryland. He reminds me of Stephon Diggs. And I was like, I'll be damned. He does. Big body, physical, great route runner, creates great separation with his physicality at the top of routes. Maryland had some guys in the skill positions. As it looks at the Big Ten conference standings right now, Oregon and Indiana both 7-0 in conference play. Indiana has got a bye, then they play Ohio State and then wrap up the season with Purdue. Oregon has Wisconsin this week and then a bye week and then Washington. Remember, one weird scheduling quirk for Oregon in this Big Ten schedule, you have Maryland came off of a bye. Wisconsin is coming off of a bye. Washington will be coming off of a bye. Now, Oregon will also be off a bye in that Washington game. But Oregon's last three opponents all coming off a bye to end the year. So something to keep an eye on there. Ohio State, Penn State, each one loss team. So right now, it's a four-team race still to Indy to see who plays in the Big Ten championship game that first weekend in December. So something to keep an eye on as this season comes to a head, as Ohio State has got Northwestern this week, Indiana and Michigan to round out their schedule. Penn State has got this week the Nittany Lions play Purdue. Then they have Minnesota and Maryland to wrap out the year. I mean, Penn State right now is looking like a one-loss conference team. And everybody else is, you know, with Indiana and Ohio State playing against each other and then having Ohio State-Michigan rivalry games always are played tight. See the Holy War against BYU and Utah. Those games can play a lot tighter than what the talent discrepancy may be. All right, let's get to hour number two. We got to start hour number two with the Portland Trailblazers and what happened last night. By golly, Chauncey Billups came out swinging after the Blazers lay an egg against the Memphis Grizzlies. Next on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.